Or 6,000, some people say a legion is. It's a lot of angels. It takes one warring angel to slay an entire army in the Old Testament. He had 12 legions. You think he could not fight? You think he had no power? It was not the nails that kept him to the cross. An angel could easily pluck out the nails. It was his love. And the character of his love. So the next time somebody wants to drive a stake through your hand, don't call for vengeance. Don't call for evil. Yield. For the just shall live by faith. Not by their own vengeance. They shall surrender their vengeance to God. I've been 30 years in the ministry, and I'm so fed up with Christianity that it's not Christianity. We want, these are the last days. The world is seeing the beginning of sorrows. Earthquakes left, right, center. Famines all over. Nations in turmoil. Nations rising against nation. The end times coming. And what kind of Christianity do we want? We want true Christianity. We don't want just some religion. Point two. Point one, who we really are. Point two, what we really are. Are we really made up of goodness or evil? Are we really God's people or not? Are we really the good tree or the bad tree? Last point. That's also found in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says something about his Christianity and the extent of his Christianity. He says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill," showing his standards are higher than others. "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law, till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Then he goes on to say, "You have heard that it was said by those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of your judgment." That's the Old Testament. But look at Jesus' standard. These are the words of Jesus. "But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raka, which means curse you, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire." Look, even the simplest things. These are the words of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the one who is the leader and head of the church. He is the one we are to follow. "Therefore," he says, "you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Verse 27. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in the heart." Look at it. Verse 31. Furthermore, it has been said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." Verse 32. "I say to you, Whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. Whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Verse 33. Again you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is by God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you even swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Verse 38, you heard it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on your cheek, right cheek, turn the other also. Verse 43, you heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, in verse 44, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Look at Jesus' standard. I can summarize it in point number three. Point number three is why we are who we are. First point is who we really are. Actions speak louder than words. Second point is what we really are. We are measured by our fruit. Point three, why we really are. Another way of putting it, love is the only reason for all actions and reactions. Love is the only reason. Full stop. You know, you can pick any one of those things and misquote them. Taking your right eye, cutting your right hand. But what is Jesus trying to say? Our motivation must always be born out of love. God is love. You know what that means? It's not just a theological statement. You know what the statement means when you say God is love? It means that everything that God does, his only motive is love. There's not a single thing that he did that was not moved because of his love. God is love. Let me illustrate. I can pick up this table from one place to another place, and I can put it here, and I can put a table there because I need the table there. But I can pick up the table from another place and put the table there because I know there's a need for the table to be there. But I can pick up the table and put it there because I love God. And I want to do something for God in his house. See the difference? Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, that means from the heart, as unto the Lord and not unto man. Whatsoever, which means everything. Now, whenever you go out for a meal with some friends, you don't go out and you don't call your friend and say, I need to eat. Let's go out because we need to eat. And you all meet at a restaurant and you eat. No. If you really need to eat, you could eat anywhere, any place, anytime. So your reason for going out is not just to eat. Your reason is because you like to meet up with your friends and talk with them and fellowship. And along the way, you do meet the other secondary need of food. See, there is a secondary need that is always there. When you take out a vacuum cleaner and you clean the carpet in the church, you could do it because it is dirty and it needs cleaning. But you could also do it because you love God and you love his house. And his house happens to be dirty, so you're cleaning it. See the difference? You could raise your motive to a higher motive. That's not from me, that's from the Bible. Read Colossians 3:23 again. Read what Jesus is trying to tell us in Matthew. He's saying, you know what his motive is? He say, he is trying to say that everything you do should be out of love. That means that to be a real Christian, you have to examine over and over again everything you do. Every time before I go and preach, before I stand there and share a sermon, I have to check my heart. Lord, am I doing it because I have to do it? Am I doing it because I'm on bound duty to do it? Am I doing it just because of the joy of doing it? Am I doing it because I love the people? And I love you. In the end, it comes down to the two great commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know that that's the only reason for living and for doing? That's the only reason for being, for living, and for doing. Covers all 3 points. I understand there are secondary reasons why we do things. You dress up because you don't want to be naked walking out in the streets, get arrested. You dress up because it's a cold day, you need clothes to keep you warm. Two natural carnal reasons, which are reasonable, right? You could do it just because of those two reasons. But you dress up because I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me dress up as unto the Lord. Some of you say, oh, it's not possible. If you learn this secret, I'm sharing you little secrets of the Christianity that I find work in my life. If you want the presence of God, this is how you do things. You find love as a reason to do whatever you do. The love for God and the love for your fellow man. You find it somehow. You find that love that God has placed on your inside. So when you do it, you got to sense that love to do it. Then you do it. You know why? Because somehow people can pick up in the invisible way, they can pick up that love. You know, people respond to love. People can sense love. Because we are all creatures that are made to be loved by God and to love. Love is the big vacuum of our humanity. And obviously, we all can sense love. We all can sense when there is no love. We need to find that motive. And that's how I refresh my Christian life. My Christian life doesn't get boring because I find the love to do it. If for no other reason to do it, it's the reason of love. Now sometimes a secondary reason get captured. And we are caught up with just doing it in the natural because the natural needs to be done. But something will be missing. Something big will be missing. Because even in a natural world, people can do things for the natural reasons. The only reason the world cannot find to do what they are doing right now, if they are not born again, is to find a reason to do it because they love God and they love people. That's why sometimes the world people cannot believe that our only motive to do anything is to do it out of love. The world will always try to find a selfish reason. Profit or gain or something like that. It cannot comprehend that one who believes in Jesus, born again, touched by the same Jesus, what was Jesus' motive for coming? For God so loved the world. And the shepherd so loved the sheep that he gave his only life. His reason. Why do we come to church? Oh, it's a habit. Here's a secondary reason. But every time Sunday comes along, you need to get up and you say, Father, forgive me. I forgot the reason why I go. But let me find the reason why I go. Because I came to worship you. To tell you that I love you. Even if this is the 9,999,000 time that I'm doing it. And it's as fresh as the day I first came.